I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I'm going to brighten up your day. I am in a bright mood. Bright. I'm trying to think of other things that bright just is one word. Anyway, we've got Lydia Bright on the podcast. That's why I was trying to go down the way of saying bright, which was she. Do you know what? She's just so sweet. I've known Lydia for so many years now. And every single time she comes into a room, she brightens up my day. She actually really does. Francis is not here today because it's actually his girlfriend Katie's birthday. So happy birthday, Katie. So he couldn't quite make it, which left the big guns to come out, i.e. me. Not talking about my muscles, talking about my chat, which is going to be on form. Just swallowed there because I feel like I might not be on form, but obviously it will be on form. What am I talking about? Lydia Bright from The Only Way is Essex on the podcast. Can't wait for this one. It's going to be great. Hey, also, before I forget, we received some fan mail and we would love some more fan mail. We actually open it live on the podcast. So send us letters, postcards, photographs, something weird. Whatever it is, send it to 79 to 81 Borough Road, SE1 1DN, titled Private Parts, or Jamie or Francis, and Jamie and Francis. Whatever you want to do, we would love to receive something because it makes our day and hopefully makes your day. Anyway, Lydia Bright, ready to brighten up the world. Enjoy. Do you know what? For some reason, and I don't know why, I feel like we are like spirit animals.
Hey, me and you?
Yeah, I think
really?
So.
Really?
I feel like in a weird kind of way that we have a connection.
Aww.
Beyond like Earth.
Do you?
I feel like so, yeah.
I think I feel it as well.
Do you?
Yes. I don't really know what you're talking about.
I just feel like we have this connection where
I feel like I have known you forever.
Well, I feel like we have known each other forever.
We have for quite a long time because we used to do a like fun YouTube show together, didn't we?
Well, we actually we did something called Spin the Bottle together, which was like this like a YouTube kind of thing that was never ever going to be commissioned in its life. But we thought this is it. We were like, this is 100% it.
It was a pretty random show.
Did I get naked in it?
I don't think so.
We didn't even... Did we kiss?
No!
I remember you wanted to kiss me and I had to say in my contract, I was like, look...
That was it, wasn't it?
I was like, actually, you know what? I just can't... It'd be unprofessional.
I know.
And then what happened?
You let me down.
And then it was really upsetting because then you fell in love with me and then I had to get that restraint against you. And then after the restraint happened... You then just became psycho.
I know. I mean, I don't know what happened to me.
And then...
I've actually got a really funny story. So do you remember this, right?
Oh, no.
So
what is
when
it?
We were recording that show, I remember, like, you were out one night and I was around the corner I think it was in Mayfair. You were in a nightclub and I was at a restaurant or something, and I'd put something on my Instagram story and you wrote and you were like, oh, come here. So me and my friends ended up coming to the club with you and you were like, come on, after party. And we ended up getting in a tuk-tuk with some of your friends and ended up at your friend's after party.
Shut up.
After party was at your house and we turned up and I was like, where's Jamie in that? And they were like, your friends had like taken us back to their after party, which wasn't their after party. It was just two of them. I think they think that we were going to get it off with them.
Were they like, now get naked?
And we were like, no, this isn't the party we was promised.
What? Is that, were you with Jess Wright?
I can't even remember. I mean, we were like young. Like,
do you want to hear it? I don't know if you know that. I think it was with you. Should I say this?
I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You snogged Jess Wright. I remember.
I did in the nightclub.
And I woke up.
I think it was that night. We went to Raffles nightclub and I woke up the next morning, thought you had died, I think. And I was like, where's Lydia?
I was at your friend's party. It wasn't your friend's party. It was me, your friend, my friend, another random person. And then I think we were there for about 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, is anyone going to call a Domino's or otherwise I'm coming?
And they were like, no, just get naked. We want to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. What a long little intro. Hello, Lydia Bright.
Hello, darling.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I said this. I do like a little ramble before the guest comes in. And I said, you honestly, I think you brighten up everyone's lives.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, yeah. You are. I think your whole family's like that as well, because I've never met your mum, but she's obviously been on.
Haven't you?
I've never met her.
Oh my God, that's really weird because we're always together.
Yeah, you always. But the most amazing thing, maybe I have met your mum once, but one of the most amazing things about your family is that I think I can say is that your mum is a foster parent as well. How amazing is that?
No, many years. They've been doing it now for, my parents have been doing it for nearly 28 years. Yeah, my whole lifetime, really.
But is that hard for you or is it easy? Because you must then have loads of different people come into your lives the entire time and then they go. What happened? Yeah. How does it work?
So, yeah, well, it depends what my parents are doing at the time. So sometimes they decide to do short-term fostering. Sometimes they do long-term. Sometimes they do emergency. So when they're emergency placements, sometimes they can be there for as little as like a couple of hours. When they're long-term placements, they can be there for years. But yeah, recently my parents have done long-term for actually quite a considerable amount of years now. So they don't leave as often. But we still do get, yeah, actually my parents have been doing babies for the last couple of years and we've had four babies and they've left for adoption and things and it's heartbreaking.
It must be like, I was about to say, it's like having a puppy and then saying bye to it, but it's obviously a human. But the thing about it is that is so incredible that your parents do that.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you know, in life is tricky anyway. We were talking about this earlier with the guys in the room, but life is tricky anyway, let alone, you know, and looking after kids and things like that, not let alone looking after kids who aren't even your own and you have to deal with. And from what I can imagine is that sometimes the kids must come in and they're probably, you know, they probably had some troubled upbringings or something.
Oh, completely.
Like,
yeah, no child comes into care and they're like the perfect child. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in care. They've normally come from like quite destructive upbringings. And, you know, sometimes they've been unfortunately part of some sort of abuse. So they do come in and a lot of the time it's like very chaotic when a new child arrives because they've got all their challenges. But I think that's part of the magic of being a foster parent or a foster family is that you get to see that child then, you know, develop and blossom and flourish. And, you know, all children need really is like a stable upbringing and love. And,
yeah.
And then you kind of watch them evolve.
Yeah. Hey.
I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of the children just have, you know, they have issues for the rest of their life, understandably, in most circumstances. But they're all lovely kids. They've just been dealt a really bad like card in life.
That's true.
Life is a lottery.
Life is a lottery, 100%. It's true. Kids just need love. Talking to you, Mum, why don't you give me the love that I needed? My mum never loved me, I don't think. No, she did.
Are you joking? My mum's going to listen to this.
No, my mum loves me more than anything in this world. She has pictures of me all over her house. I'm like, take them down.
The shrine.
Oh, my God, a shrine. But it is amazing. But do you think that's why you're quite good with people is because you were surrounded by people and knew people the entire time? Oh, because you said you were quite shy as well at school, but...
I was shy, yeah. I actually was quite a shy child, and a lot of my upbringing, my childhood, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. So I used to spend half the time really with my parents and half the time with my grandparents, because I was quite a quiet child and my house was so chaotic.
Oh, no, that makes my heart melt. So you went to your grandparents because you felt like it was too loud.
I loved it because my grandparents spoilt me rotten. Like, their kids, obviously, were growing up with their own kids. So I used to spend a lot of time with my grandparents.
Can I ask you a quick question? Do you remember when grandparents used to say that? Did your grandparents ever say to you, do you want to spend a penny? Did they ever say that saying?
No, I don't think so.
My granny used to say to me, do you want to spend a penny? And I'd go, yes, please. I would love to spend a penny. And then she would take me to the bathroom to take a pee. And I'd be like, well, that's not fucking...
Oh, means to go to the toilet.
Yeah, I thought it was like, let's go and buy a Calippo.
No, my nan never said that.
Did she not say that?
No, she used to have little like sayings and things, but that wasn't one of them.
I just at this moment remember...
She used to sing a lot of war songs.
Well, because she was...
It's a long way to Tipperary. Have you heard that one?
No, because I wasn't in the war.
My grandmother, yeah. My grandmother was in foster care. Do you know that?
Was she?
Yeah, which is quite a nice story because of that. But my grandma had because when the war was happening, my grandma and her youngest brother, she was one of five, but her youngest brother, they went into foster care in Wales to get out of London because of the bombings, but she had a really negative experience. So growing up, my mum used to hear about my grandma's awful experience in care, and I think that kind of
encouraged my mum more. What a nice story. But why, I wanna know, why did your grandmother just walk around singing water? Just random? Because
she used to learn them when she was in care. Yeah, they used to teach.
She would just then go and sing it still?
Yeah, or like when the bombings were happening and things, and she used to go in the London Underground, they used to learn all war songs, so my nan used to teach me them.
I've just remembered...
This was another one. Sorry.
I can't wait for this. Here we go.
All I want is a place somewhere far away from the city, yeah, with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely?
Are we in a musical? I mean, literally. Lots of chocolates for me to eat. Lots of donuts, lots of eat.
Yeah, the war songs.
Yeah. Why do you
We've
also,
got really off topic, haven't we?
No, there is no topic to this. But also, I love the fact that even though you're from Essex, you went even more Cockney for it.
Yeah, because none of my family are from Essex. So this is the thing. All people from Essex are from the East End.
Yeah.
So, but the way that it's gone now is that everyone from Essex is moving back to the East End. So, well, especially West Essex, where I'm from, all my friends' parents are from the East End.
Okay.
All my family were like Walthamstow, Hackney and things. And I was actually East London until I was a teenager. And then I moved to Essex.
Everyone loves to claim they're like East London.
I was born in Leytonstone, Witch Cross Hospital.
I was.
E18. I'm a fraud. No, I'm joking. I am an Essex girl through and through. But
I love the fact that I went... You know, everyone likes to say, I was. Or put a knuckle duster on me and I'll hit someone. Check it out.
That is true, though. Everyone from Essex likes to throw it in that they're family from East London.
Weirdly enough, I was born up in Hackney.
Was you?
No, obviously not.
I was not
born up in Hackney. I think I could fit in Hackney quite well, though.
I think you could before you speak.
No.
You've got that kind of look. You're quite edgy with your tats and stuff and your little dress sense, but then you'd open your mouth and everyone would be like,
all right, let's have a little bit of role play then. Okay, so you're a barman, a bar lady, and you're serving me a drink. I've walked into the pub,
okay,
and I want a drink. You ready? this is me not acting, this is me simply being me.
Right.
you're gonna offer me a drink?
Oh, well, I've got to say first.
Yeah,
so... Okay, so I'm an East End bar lady.
Yeah,
right?
You're just you.
No, because... Okay, no, I want to put on the accent.
you've already got the accent. You don't need...
No, but this is a bit Essex, isn't it? I just want to be East End.
You just love...
You all right, love? Can I get you a pint or anything? Yeah. Name's Peggy.
All right, Peggy. My name's... Lysander.
What? No, that's definitely... You are...
Listen, Peggy.
There's no one in the East End called Lysander. Yeah.
Oh, well, you should meet my family, Mercutio, as well.
What? Why are you being exotic? It'll be Dave and Bob?
It wouldn't be Dave and Bob.
Dave, yeah, like that's an Eastern name, isn't
I it? Have a friend called Lysander who lives in Hackney.
Really?
No, again, no, I'm lying again. I just keep lying on this podcast. But I just remember this one thing just now, going back to your grandma, is that I just literally remember this moment. I remember I used to go up to my grandmother's room and try on all of her makeup and wear her clothes.
What?
Yeah. I honestly, I literally at this. Have I just opened up Pandora's box? And just suddenly,
really?
Have I just suppressed all this emotion? Yeah, I remember I used to go and put on her mascara and her lipstick and things like that.
I mean, I love that you just felt like confident enough to be able to, you know, do that.
Well, I used to, when I was a kid, I used to do weird things.
Really?
I remember. I can't believe
I'm
telling you.
That's pretty crazy.
I used to line my teddy bears up in a row. This is bizarre. Oh my God. And I went downstairs and I got a wooden spoon. And okay. I used to come up into the room and I used to
thank them.
Myself. I used to get cross at my teddy bear and they would get cross at me. And I would then spank myself because I had been bad with the wooden spoon.
And what, pretend that it was from your teddy bear? Yeah, but yeah. Is that a fetish now that you've like carried on into later life?
Yeah, now if you come into my room, I've got loads of teddies. I love them watching me when I have sex.
I actually used to do something with my teddies as well, but it's not as weird as that. I used to want to be a vet growing up. Mm-hmm. So what I used to do is I used to always snap the antennae off my radio. Because remember, like back in the day, the radio, like the antennae, like you'd push it down. And I used to think
did
it was
like an
injection.
Did you actually grow up in the war? Like, did you actually just grow up in the war?
Are you joking?
I used to have this antennae that would like go up here and I used to stand on the top of my roof.
Radios used to have antennas in our day.
Yeah, I know.
No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I used to pretend that it was a syringe. I used to inject them with the antennae. And Mum used to be like, Lydia, snap the antennae of another radio.
What? So you'd go around snapping antennae off radios.
So
to
I
just
could pretend it was an injection, a lethal injection.
You must have done something else weird when you were a kid. What was it? Like, you must have done weird things.
Okay, so my dad's a tiler.
Uh-huh.
And my dad used to bring back boxes of mosaic tiles, you know, the little small mosaic tiles.
Yeah.
And me and my sister, Mum used to go to IKEA and buy all the like wooden plain frames. And me and my sister used to sit there and decorate the frames with mosaic tiles. And we used to sell them on our front lawn. So like people used to walk past and we used to sell them. We had a little like mosaic frame shop.
Yeah, but again, I don't think that's that weird. I just think that's quite entrepreneurial of you and quite business-like
of you.
I feel like...
But nobody used to buy anything. So my dad used to walk up the road and give people like 50p and go, please, can you go and buy something from my daughter's stalls?
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That honestly breaks my heart.
Okay.
That is the sweetest thing in the entire world.
Yeah, so they used to force people to buy.
I love that. But hang on a sec. So I want to work something out. So you said that you were a shy kid and used to go to your grandparents to kind of get away from the noise and things like that.
Yeah.
But then what happens is that you then join a reality show, The Only Way is Essex, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it was, it's sort of the beginning of all reality shows pretty much in the UK. If you're shy and a bit removed from being in those situations, why do you then go and do a TV show like that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think I was just given the opportunity and I didn't really know where my life was going.
And you were like, I just really want to be famous.
No.
You were like, I can see it in your eyes. You're just like,
I really I never thought that I would be famous ever. Like, really didn't. But I didn't really know where my life was going. So I came out of school, I did my A-levels and I did get a place in uni, but I didn't really want to go.
What uni were you going to go to?
Brighton.
Okay.
And I deferred it because... You know, I was selling mosaics on my store. I was very entrepreneurial and I wanted to earn money. Yeah. I was like, I need to earn money. So I like deferred my placement and I went out into the big bad world to try and find a job. And I came out of school when it was a recession. It was so hard to get a job. I remember my first ever job that I got was in West Drayton, which is near Heathrow. And it used to take me an hour and 40 minutes to get to work every single day.
Was it guiding in the planes? Were you?
I actually worked at...
Get in here,
no,
planes.
It was at the BMI training centre where all the pilots used to go.
What did you do there?
I just was like front of house reception. And I remember every day on my way home from work, I used to have to get on the North Circular. Sometimes I'd be sitting there for 2.5 hours. I was like crying, like, oh my God, like, is this going to be my life forever? And once I like took into account my travel and stuff, I was earning like £40 a day. And then,
God, that's really quite low.
Yeah. And then I got a job in Camden. And
so you're really entrepreneurial.
But I mean, I was just doing rubbish jobs. I had like good qualifications, but there was just no jobs anywhere.
But you had this vision where you knew that you wanted to achieve something, right?
Yeah.
You knew that you wanted to go and do something, and you knew that you wanted to be successful in your own right.
I just really wanted to earn money, and I just had enough of studying. But I thought, oh, if I've got to go uni, I will. Then I went to Spain on my first girls' holiday, to Marbella, of course.
Is that where you kissed your first boy?
No.
So you're...
We've sidetracked.
I know, this is what happens sometimes. So you're 14 years old, right?
What, when my first kiss?
Yeah.
No, 11.
Are you 11 years old?
Well, actually, I think I was younger. I was year six. Is that 11?
I have no idea.
11, I think I was.
So you're 11 years old. Lady Bright.
He stole my shoes.
Player.
He stole my shoes.
After he kissed you. So he kissed you, then mugged you.
He stole my shoes. So I snogged him to get my shoe back.
How old was Peter?
Same age, 11.
Okay, so he's not like 32.
11, but he was about 2 foot. And I grew really tall as well. Like, I was so tall in year six. I was like the same height as I was now. And I remember bending over and snogging Peter Frugier, who was like half my height.
But what feeling? What feeling came over? Did you like it?
I was in disgust. Really? I just wanted my shoe back.
I love the fact that he stole your shoe. Yeah. I'm going to use that tactic today.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a bar and nick someone's bag and go, we're not giving that unless you snog me.
That's how it happened.
What happened to the love story? Well, did he?
Nothing. He was going out with my friend Simone.
You dirtbag.
She knew I was snogging him though. She just said, you're going to have to do it. And I was like, Simone, that's your boyfriend.
Simone is kinky. Simone is kinky.
Maybe she was up for something.
She was gunning for the threesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you nicked my shoes. Now you nicked my virginity.
Simone was even taller than me as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Peter obviously loves a tall lady. He's like Bernie Eccleston.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Peter Frugier, that was his name.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
At 11. I feel like everyone has their first kiss at 11. My first kiss was at 11. Well, it wasn't at 11.
When did you lose your virginity?
14.
That's young.
When did you lose yours?
16.
Well, it's 2 years older.
But mine's at 16, you're legal. 14's illegal, technically.
Yeah, bad
that was a
boy.
Criminal offence.
Yeah, who's the one from Hackney now? I imagine. And you don't have to talk about it, but I'm going to ask you the question. I imagine when you lost your virginity, there were like rose petals there. There were candles.
No. No, it was in a home. It was in a house, but what? It wasn't romantic.
It was in a halfway house.
No,
you were all
in
taking crap.
It was in a house. I feel like I can't even go into this conversation.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you
it
can.
It was. I remember we were playing music. It was with a boyfriend. We were playing music, but it was back when, remember you used to record songs on your phone?
Yeah.
So it was like that. So it was all fuzzy. It was like on the radio station. And then like, I remember the song was playing. And then it was like, then it like, went to the radio. Presenter and I was like, I'll rewind the song.
You were
again.
Like, don't worry, I can make a radio with all the aerials I have. Don't worry, I've collected these as a kid. So let's just make the ultimate radio. So the music's playing.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go into this topic. Can we go back to
I just
how I joined Towie?
Yeah, we can in a second.
Let's rewind.
Okay, let's go. Let's be like the tape. Tell me more about Pete.
Peter Frugier.
Okay, so Hank, so you're...
I didn't lose my opportunity to use Peter Frugier, by the way.
By the way, Lydia is winking at me.
I forgot to say, didn't.
Also, I forgot to tell all the listeners, Lydia is naked at the moment as well. She's naked and she's stolen my shoes and I don't know what is going to happen right now. But whatever it is, I'm excited. Okay, so you're insecure. Not insecure. No, that came
insecure?
From. Sorry, I was just talking about myself. I went into my own psyche just then. Oh, you're just insecure and just timid. And, oh, anyway. Hi, Lydia. So you are... Okay, so you're working all these jobs. You're going on the Northern Line. You're taking 2.5 hours to get back to work. You're upset. All those kind of things. What happened next?
So I went to Marbella and I went on my girl's holiday.
Did you
holiday.
Kiss someone there?
Probably, yeah.
Oh,
of course I did.
Of course, you started at 11. You're going to be on it.
So, oh no, actually, I was with Arj. Of course, I didn't. What am I talking about?
I probably did still.
No, I didn't. So I went to Marbella and I was on my first girls' holiday and I quit my job when I was out there and didn't come home and started working in a bar out there. I was with James and we broke up. He flew home. He got on the show and the season was coming to an end and the show contacted me and was like, would you like to... come on The Only Way Is Essex, and I'd heard about it.
What were your first impressions?
I was not really, I had no interest in being famous, but then they said to me, we'll pay for your flight home.
And we'll pay you 50 quid a day. And you were
like, I never got paid at the beginning, but they offered to pay for my flight home, and I was broke. I was only 18, so I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Really?
So they flew me home, and I thought maybe I'd do a couple of EPs.
What's so interesting I want to find out about this is because, you know, you did The Only Way Is Essex, I did Made in Chelsea. And at the beginning, Made in Chelsea, when it first came on, was from all of my friends and everything. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is just car crash. And reality TV has a stigma anyway. We both know that. But it was like a bit of like everyone just, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Oh my God. And maybe it was a sense of jealousy or maybe actually some of them actually generally thought that. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Was that the same with The Only Way Is Essex? Were more people like, I actually want to get on the show?
No. I remember when it first aired, everyone was like going mad about it. I wasn't in it from ep one. I came in like halfway through the first series, but I remember when it first came out, like everyone was like, oh my God, it's an embarrassment, it's a shame to Essex girls, it's like a shame to the Essex name. Everyone was really angry about it, and then it kind of started doing a bit of a turnaround, and then people just loved to hate it and it became a bit of a cult. And then when I got asked to do it, no, everyone around me was like, go for it. My family are very much like, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Grab every opportunity. You never know where it's going to go. If it doesn't work out, you know, then change. Like, there's nothing to be lost. So when I got like asked to do it, my family were like, go for it. It'll be fine. And they knew who I was. So they were like, you know, we're not afraid that you're going to go on it and start, embarrass yourself.
Yeah, but also, Liz, with you, I think that out of... everyone on the show, everyone in reality, you've very much just stayed as you. And I'm not saying that people change those, but like, you know, off screen, on screen, but off screen, you're exactly the same as you are on screen. And you never changed that. And for you, I think it was probably quite hard because anyone who knows The Only Way Is Essex or knows you is that you went through a pretty hard time.
Yeah.
Because James Argent, who...
I love it how people call him is that Arge. That's not a middle name.
Is it not?
it's just people nicknamed him Arge and he couldn't get James Argent on Twitter, so he put James Arge Argent, but now people think that's his middle name.
I thought it's just very Essex of them to go like, this is John, this is John Junior, and this is John Junior. That's what happens. So I thought this is Arge, this is Arge Argent, and this is Arge Argent.
No. Do you know what as well, once when we were on a show, one of the presenters had obviously never watched Show before, and they were like, so James Org James Org.
Org. James Org. The knock is also, it's impossible to make it sound anything else but Org. Yeah.
They went James Org Origin and Mario, and I was thinking this person clearly doesn't watch
Mario.
The show. For Mario. Actually, I think it was Peter Andre. Yeah, it was Peter Andre, but the center.
Did he go, sorry, it's not R again?
I think we just went with it.
Right, Liz, we've got to stop there because that's the end of part one. I mean, I can't even tell. I'm having the most fun I think I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, since...
Since last week.
Since about an hour ago. This is the best fun since an hour ago.
I'm privileged.
Hey, guys, don't go anywhere because we'll see. You're not going to go anywhere. You're listening to podcasts. You can walk around. Go anywhere you want. Go wherever you want. Do it, but just make sure you keep listening to part two because Libby will be here. See part two.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.